It is so good to stand before you this morning. So good to have life and breath in my body. I'm so thankful and grateful that you showed up to hear what the Lord would have to say. So, Lord, Father, I've prayed already. My wife and I have prayed already, but I just come before you this morning, and I just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for my pastor praying for me. Thank you for the church praying for me. Lord, this is an honor that I don't take lightly. Use me, Lord. Use me to speak to your people. Use me, Lord, I pray. Holy Spirit, have your way. I get out of your way. Forgive me for the times that I have allowed flesh to be on display. Forgive me for the times when I have been in your way, Holy Spirit. Help me, Lord, to get out of your way. Lord, I pray that your presence would fall in this place. I pray that there would be a tangible Holy Ghost presence in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, driving here this morning, coming down the interstate, I-10, cars going around you like 80 miles an hour, and my wife and I are just worshiping the Lord, and I just blurted out, I was like, whoo! Like, do you feel the presence of God in this truck this morning? God is with us wherever we are. Wherever you are, on your job, going down I-10, risking your life, coming to church on Sundays, he's with you wherever you are. And I'm so glad. I'm so glad he's with us wherever we are. So this is the last day of the month. This is the last day of our fasting and praying. We've been fasting and praying this month. And I feel it. I feel it. There is a change in the atmosphere. There's a change in the atmosphere. And even coming to church this morning, I believe that God wants to do something in Faithful Word. And I believe that it's something tangible, something we can see, something we can feel, something we can write down and say, I was there when I saw that happen. I was there when I saw that person get healed. I was there when I saw that person get delivered. I believe we're on the verge of something. So today I'm talking to you about preparation for an outpouring. Preparation for an outpouring. What do you think about when you hear that? An outpouring. What do you think about? Y'all can just talk to me for a second while I have an outpouring right here. This is not grape juice, Sister Diane. This is water that I'm about to pour into this cup. This is an outpouring. An outpouring is a pouring out. It's just that simple. It's pouring something out. And when I heard that in my spirit, I was like, preparation for an outpouring. Ooh, God's going to let me preach on revival. Finally, it's been so long. Well, maybe not. Maybe it's not about revival. Well, not part one of this message, but I believe that God wants us to prepare for an outpouring. And if you would go to Exodus chapter 28 with me, I want to just look back in time and see what the word says about an outpouring or a pouring out. You know, sometimes when you see water, you hear the wind, you hear about the oil of anointing. All of those represent the Holy Spirit. Throughout the word, you know that the Holy Spirit is, and when you hear the word outpouring, we think about the Holy Spirit. So as we prepare for an outpouring, I believe that we are preparing for a move of the Spirit of God. So in Exodus chapter 28, but I just want to talk about what does that look like? I want to look at some examples of an outpouring that may not be what you think I want to talk about this morning. Exodus 28:1 says, "And take unto thou unto thee Aaron thy brother," talking to Moses, "and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Even Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar, Aaron's sons, and thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office." So God is raising up Aaron to be the high priest, the first high priest of Israel, the first high priest. And so he's laying out, here are all the garments. Here is everything I want you to do for the rest of that chapter. He lays out what he wants them to do to prepare for what he's going to do in Aaron and raise him up to be a priest. And in Exodus 28, verse 41, it says, later in the chapter, it says, "And thou shalt put them," the garments, all the things he told Moses to make, "and thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, and shall anoint him." You shall anoint him and consecrate him and sanctify him, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And then if you look at the next chapter, so then the anointing begins, Exodus 29:1. "And this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them, to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office. Take a young bullock and two rams without blemish." You know, this young bullock and these two rams were not brought as pets to this ceremony. They were not brought as pets for them to feed them and give them water and say, "Oh, come on, Fluffy, come on and watch the ceremony." No, they were brought because they were going to be a sacrifice, and blood would be shed, and blood would be a part of this ceremony as he put Aaron into this high priest position. And so he also says in verse 2, "And unleavened bread." You've heard anybody preach about unleavened bread lately? Unleavened bread, get the leaven out, get the sin out. "And unleavened bread and cakes unleavened, tempered with oil, and wafers unleavened, anointed with oil, of wheaten flour shalt thou make them. And thou shalt put them in one basket and bring them in the basket with the bullock and the two rams. And Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shalt wash them with water." So that was a purification. That was a washing of Aaron and his sons. They had to be cleansed first. "And thou shalt take the garments and put upon Aaron the coat and the robe of the ephod, and the ephod and the breastplate, and gird him with the curious girdle of the ephod, and thou shalt put the mitre upon his head, and put the holy crown upon the mitre." Put a mitre, put a head covering on him, and then put a crown on that. And so he has on this beautiful garment, and he has this mitre on his head, and he has this crown on that. And you should see the sight, and all the congregation is there. And now, 29:7, then shalt thou take the anointing oil, and I want you to do like Brill cream. A little dab will do it. I want you to just put your finger on it, just barely touch that oil, and I want you to just rub it in and see if you can see it. If the sun hits it just right, you might see the oil on his head. Pour it on. Then shalt thou take the anointing oil, and what will you do with it? Let me show you. This is what they were doing to Aaron's head. Except for I don't have a cup big enough to show how much they really poured over his head. They pour it upon his head and anoint him. That was a pouring. That was a anointing, a pouring of this oil over Aaron's head, this fragrant oil being poured over his head. And as it was poured over his head, what happened to this oil? Did it just sit there and pool up like it was a saucer on his head? It began to run down Aaron's face and eyebrows and his face and down his beard, like this cool beard my brother has right here. I can't show you on my beard. But it would run down his beard, and it wasn't stopped there. As it went down the beard, it would start to get on his clothes. And it wouldn't stop there. As it dripped down his royal priestly robes and clothing, it would continue to flow until it hit the ground, hit the floor. That's what an anointing looks like. That's what an anointing looks like. I just want to throw out there, maybe we begin when you come to the altar to anoint you in a different way for prayer. Pastor has threatened us over the years to pour the oil over our heads. But this is how they anointed people. They poured the oil over his head. It reminds me of a time that I read in the New Testament. If you turn to Mark chapter 14, I want to show you something. And this is a foundational message, because this is part one. I'm building. I'm going somewhere. So bear with me. Mark chapter 14 and verse 1. So as they anointed Aaron to be the first high priest, there was another man who was anointed to be the last high priest that we would need. Mark chapter 14, verse 1, it says, after 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priest and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft to put him to death. Isn't this amazing? That the same office of the priest that Jesus, Almighty God, ordained, that same office the men, when he came to earth, sought to kill him. Isn't that crazy? And so here he is, the chief priest and the scribes sought how they might put him to death, but they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. In verse 3, and there being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box. An alabaster box, a box filled with oil. fragrant oil, a very expensive oil. And it says here, she had an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box, and what did she do? She poured it over his head. She walked in with a full vessel of oil, and she walked out with a broken, empty vessel. And she poured it over the head of our Lord. And he was anointed by this lady, and this fragrance filled the room. And as she poured it over his head, what do you think happened to that oil? It just began to run down the face of the Lord, over his eyebrows, down his face, down his beard, onto his clothes, and eventually it found its way to the ground. Just like Aaron, the high priest, and just like, you know, when they had the young bull and the rams and they would sacrifice and the blood would flow, they would use that blood to anoint the priest in that ceremony. And they would sprinkle that blood over their clothes, and they would anoint their right ear and right thumb and right toe. And they went through all of these rituals. But that was an anointing of oil, and that was an anointing of blood. And if you would look at Mark 15 with me, I want to show you another anointing that our Lord had to have. So Aaron was anointed with oil, and they poured it over his head. And Jesus was anointed with oil, and they pour it over his head, and both men had the same experience. It ran down their faces, it ran on their clothes, ran in their beards, dripped down to the ground. But when Aaron was anointed, he had on the priestly garments and the mitre, and he had on the priestly crown. Mark chapter 15, verse 16, but here was another anointing that Jesus had. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. And they clothed him, Jesus, with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. So here is the great Jesus, our great high priest. And like Aaron had his crown, Jesus had his crown. Except for it wasn't as beautiful. The ceremony was different. Instead of the crowds of Israel around watching this anointing of the high priest, celebrating what God was doing, Jesus' audience was men who hated his guts. Roman soldiers, some of the most cruel men to ever walk planet Earth. That was his crowd. And like Aaron had his crown, Jesus had his crown, except it was a plaited crown of thorns. And they put it on his head and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him on the head with a reed. And this reed, as they would hit him on his head, it would drive those thorns deeper and deeper into his scalp. And guess what would happen? The blood would flow. And it would flow down his face. It would flow down his beard. It would flow down his garments, and eventually it would make its way to the ground. You see the difference? Aaron sacrificed Moses, Aaron and his sons, they would lay their hands on the sacrificial animal. They would sacrifice the animal. They would shed the blood. But in this case, Jesus says, I am the sacrificial lamb. And as the oil and the blood had to flow, and they would sprinkle that blood on Aaron's garments, Jesus says, you can't sprinkle any animal's blood here. I am the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming and he said, behold, the Lamb of God. I thank God that Jesus had the double anointing to flow. As horrible as it was, without it, we would be lost. As horrible as it was, without it, we would have no hope. So I'm thankful for the blood that flowed. I'm thankful for the blood that flowed down his face, down his beard, down his clothes, and eventually made his way to the ground. I'm thankful Isaiah 53 says, but he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my, David Walker's iniquities. My sin. That thorn was on his head because he knew I would sin. He knew I would sin. And as I read this, it just made me think about, you know, as we take the communion of the bread and cup, and I'm not going to preach about this today, that's in part two, but it just makes me realize the magnitude of what we do when we remember. Yep. When we remember. Thank you. I thank God that he was wounded for our transgressions, that he was bruised for our iniquities, that the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And I also thank God that with his stripes we are healed. Yes. Let me tell you something. If our great high priest Jesus went through that, he did not go through that in vain. I'm going to serve him. Yes. Not only am I going to serve him, but think about when the musicians are up here singing and they're worshiping him. Do you think he deserves our worship and our praise? Sometimes we take worship for granted. We take it for granted, and it's just, oh, it's Jason up here with those guys and girls and they're singing again, and oh, man, whew. He deserves all of the praise. If there was no worship team, if there was no music, if there were no singers, I'd still praise him. He still deserves the praise. He deserves the praise when you wake up in the morning. He deserves our praise when you lay your head on the bed at night. He deserves our praise every day. Every day. I want you to turn to 2 Kings chapter 4 with me. 2 Kings chapter 4. If Jesus went through all of that for my sin, if he went through all of that to become our great high priest, if he went through all of that, and Isaiah says, by his stripes we are healed, you know what? Just like we should believe him to forgive us, we should believe him to heal us. I believe God wants to heal his people. I believe God wants to touch his people. And I'm not just talking about physical healings. There are families who are broken, fractured, torn apart. God wants to heal those families. There are people who are broken emotionally. They've gone through so much in life. God wants to heal them. I believe God wants to have a movement, an outpouring of healing. I want you to prepare for an outpouring. I want us to prepare for an outpouring. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. I want to pick my Bible up and read out of this, but I'm going to get sidetracked if I do. I already know. I can just feel it. I'm going to stick with my notes. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. Now they cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, so he's talking to this prophet, the man of God, the man who's over the school of the prophets, the dean of the school of the prophets. And she said to Elisha, thy servant, he was in your Bible college. My husband is dead. Now, this shouldn't have caught Elisha by surprise. He should have known this. But here's what she says. And thou knowest, Elisha, you know that this man, thy servant, did fear the Lord. He was a godly man. And listen at this. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be slaves, to be bondmen. The creditor is come to take my two sons away. Now, wait a minute. Hang on a second. You go to Elisha, this widow. You're like, you know, my husband has died. He was a very godly man. And she just cuts to the chase. Look, I need help because my phone is ringing and they're calling me. They've repossessed our donkey. They've came and took all the furniture out of the house. And now they're still calling me. And I'm broke. And now they're saying, okay, well, I'll tell you what, if you can't pay within the next 30 days with interest, we're going to take your two sons. And so this woman is in a bad spot. But do you realize, I want you to realize something. In her story, in her plight, in her pain, in her desperate need, listen how she talked about her husband. She went to Elisha and said, you know what? You know my husband, he was in your school. He was in the school of the prophets. He's died. And you know he feared God. If that was some ladies today, they would have went to Elisha and said, do you know that no good thing got us in debt, bought a new donkey, got new furniture, and now he's gone and died and left me. Man, I tell you what, I knew I shouldn't have married him to begin with. But she showed him honor. She showed her husband honor. And so she came to Elisha and told him the story. And so in verse 2, this is what Elisha said to her. What shall I do for thee? If you had a sure word from God, and the word was this, what do you want God to do for you today, right now? What would your answer be? What would your answer be? I could just hear some of you. Man, what's that Powerball up to right now? I drove past that billboard. Is it a billion? A billion? I'm going to have to change my sermon. Maybe I pray for the Powerball is the title. No, just kidding. Just kidding. Yeah. But that's how we would act. Some people would be like, what's the Powerball up to? Or they would say something like, you know what, maybe can I be a famous preacher? Can I be a famous rock star? Can I be a famous, maybe Jason would say, can I be a famous worshiper and my face and my songs are sang across the world? Maybe I would say, if I just had hair again, like Samson. Who knows? But the prophet didn't even let her answer the question. He had wisdom. He said, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thy handmaid has not anything in the house. They've repossessed, they've taken it all. I don't have anything left. All I have left in my house is a pot of oil, is an oil in an earthen vessel. That's all I have. A clay pot with oil in it. I don't have anything. Church, don't ever take for granted what God has blessed you with. Don't ever take for granted that small, teeny, tiny gift that you might have, because God can use it for His glory. How many times do we look at somebody, well, I wish I could play the keyboard. I do wish I could play the keyboard. I wish I could play the keyboard, but I can't, so I guess I wish I had a great voice to sing. I wish I could cook. I wish I could. And there's all these wishes that we wish, and we see people and we, man, if I could do that, what do you have in your house? What do you have in your house? What is your gift? What small thing do you have that the Lord can use today? And so she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. And so here comes the instructions to tell her how to prepare for the outpouring. And so then he said, verse 3, then Elisha said, go and borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. In other words, he was like, I want you to go and knock on every door, and you ask them, hey, brother, can I borrow? You got any empty pots, sister, I can borrow? Brother Jesse, you got any empty pots in your house that I could borrow? Sister Diane, do you have any empty pots? And she just went around asking her neighbors. And guess what? This took humility, because the neighbors saw the creditors knocking on her front door. The neighbors saw them repossess her donkey. The neighbors saw them taking the furniture out of her house. That's right. The neighbors heard them say, I'll give you 30 days, woman, and when I come back, those two boys of yours, they're going with me. And the same neighbors, she's going and saying, you know what? I need to borrow some empty vessels. Can you loan me an empty vessel? Loan you an empty vessel? This woman's at the door wanting an empty pot. I think her pot's cracked a little bit. Can you believe that? Give it to her, honey. Okay. And then we get to verse 4. And when thou art come in, he said, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out. There will be an outpouring into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So he's telling her, go get all these empty pots, put them in your house, get your two sons, close the door, and when you're in your house with your two sons, take that earthen vessel full of oil, and you begin to fill these pots. You know how much faith it took for this woman to do this? Yeah. Would you do it? Would you do it? Close the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out unto all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. And so she had the instructions for preparation for an outpouring, but now there has to be obedience in the preparation for an outpouring. And so she went and got all of these empty vessels, just like the man of God said, put them all in her house, got her two sons, went into the house, and closed the door. And so verse 5 says, so she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. She poured out. Sometimes when it comes to walking in faith, sometimes we got to close our doors because people might just think you crazy on some of the things you believe in God for. You know, I don't always go around telling everybody what I'm believing God for, because some people are going to look at you like, what? Man, that'll never happen. That'll never happen. Do you know God, from the simple things to the big things, we can believe him for? Let me give you a quick testimony. One day I'm underneath this Ford pickup truck. Go ahead, all you Chevrolet owners, go ahead and say, go ahead, found on road dead. That's why you were working on it. But I was underneath this Ford pickup truck working on my truck. The fuel pump had went out. I had to change the fuel pump. So I'm underneath this truck wrestling with this gas tank because the pump is inside the gas tank. So I'm dropped the gas tank. I'm trying to get this fuel pump out. I'm having issues. I'm aggravated. I'm tired. I'm sweating. I go into the house, and I tell my wife, I was like, Brooks, do you know all the – so we've been pastoring at this time. We've been helping people, spending money in the neighborhood, sending kids back, all this stuff, feeding people, helping with bills, all kinds. And I go in the house and I say, you think all these people were helping? You think somebody would stop and help me for a change? Because while I'm under this truck, I hear all these cars going down the road. And you know my wife, she was like, oh, you poor baby, you know what? I understand. Come here. Let me give you a hug. David, did you pray about it? No, I didn't pray about it. Lord, send my husband some help. I walk outside. This truck pulls over. Hey, Rev, you need some help? just that fast. Thank God for a praying wife who's married to a hard-headed husband. Sometimes we take the small things for granted. God wants you to ask him, talk to him, come to him. When the Lord had that crown of thorns put on his head, he had it put on and the blood flowed, but he was there for us. And he doesn't take our problems lightly. Even the small things. He loves us. He cares for us. Why don't we trust him? And so she closed the door. And I can see as she took that earthen vessel filled with oil and began to pour it into that first pot. And her son's looking. And this first pot was probably bigger than her pot. And it filled to the rim. And I can just see their eyes getting big like, what in the world is going on? The more we pour, the more comes out. And as we pour, Lord, look, it's filling up the vessel. And the vessel is full. Hurry, give me another one. And they brought another one. And it filled it up. And she was like, hurry up, bring me another one. And they filled up another one. Hurry, bring me another one. Can you imagine the excitement, the laughter? Can you imagine, you know why they had to close the door? Because people would think these guys have gone crazy. They're in there laughing and singing and having a good time. Look what the Lord has done. Look what, and they're in there singing and clapping and praising. Can you imagine the shock, the amazement, the majesty of the moment when they saw God pouring out this oil into these empty vessels? And you know what else I believe? Just like when Jesus turned the water into wine and they gave it to the host and he called and said, you know what? This is the best wine. Usually they serve the good wine first and then they save that bad stuff after everybody has drunk a little bit. But you've saved the best for last. I believe this oil that was coming out of this pot, as she poured it into that other earthen vessels, I believe it was the best oil money could buy. I bet you the aroma filled that room. As they poured that oil out, you could just smell the richness of that oil in that room. And I bet you as they were pouring that oil, it was splashing up and getting everywhere. And they had it all over them. And it was just getting all over them. And I bet you they had a Holy Ghost time in that little house. I don't know about you, but I can just feel my faith just rising even as I read this. For God to do something in our life. And so it get to verse 6. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. The oil stopped flowing. Whew. Exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. If we can see it, God can do it. We can't ask him for something that he can't do. God, well, what if you did this, this, and this? And God, I can do that. Well, what if you just saved that six cousin 18 times removed in Texas? No, David, believe me for your household. That's right. Well, what if you could let this... give me enough money to buy a used tire off this little place off that. No, David, believe me for a brand new set. Amen. Believe me for more. Believe me for more. And so
The oil stopped flowing when the vessels were full. And so now we get down to verse 7. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay thy debt, and you can retire rich. And live thou and thy children of the rest. Man, where is my prophet? Any prophets in the house who can give me a word about somebody, prophetess? I don't. Anyway. Not only did it pay her debt, but it gave her the chance to start this startup business that is now on the New York Stock Exchange. The widow's oil. The best oil you can buy. I would buy a stock in that company. Because God blessed that company. And he told her, go sell it. You pay those knuckleheads who was trying to steal your children. And you and your children, you go live off the rest. You can retire now. Wow. That's what I'm talking about. There are some, and I could say the same thing about in here, but there's an online viewer. Something just quickened in your spirit. You've been believing God for. And I want you to just say, amen, God, I claim it. I claim what that guy just said, that I can believe you for this. I can believe you for this. You know, this woman went to her house, and when she took her two sons in her house, I'm about to preach for a minute because something just hit me. When she took her two sons and she went and closed that door and she had that pot of oil, do you know when she went to her house and closed that door, that she went to her house broke? She went to her house hurt, wounded, confused, didn't know what she was going to do. But do you know when she came and opened that same door, turned that same doorknob, and came out that same door, her life was changed, and she would never be the same again. She went in broke, but she came out blessed. She went in wounded, but she came out healed. She went in broken, but she came out with the glory of God in her house. Give me a second. Give me 1 second. Brother, you know you preaching right now, brother. Hallelujah. Praise God. I claim that for myself, preacher man. I take that, preacher. I take that for myself. Whoo! That some of you got some doors you going in that when you close that door, you going in sick. You going in with problems. You going in not knowing what you're going to do. But God can fix it. So when you open that door up again, you walk out that door and you're healed. You're delivered. You're whole. Yeah. Woo, glory to God. I'm preparing for an outpouring. I'm not preparing to just give up. I'm preparing for God to do something. God, I'm believing you. I'm believing you to change me. I'm believing you to heal me. Whew. It just hit me there. I'm back. I'm all right now. Man, when you get a revelation like that, that's some good stuff. There's a time when my wife and I closed the door and we went to our house and we were broke, busted, and disgusted. And we were on the phone calling, hey, who is the best bankruptcy lawyer that you have? But do you know that was a time we opened that same door and that was over with, and God had blessed us, and the same stuff we had lost in a hurricane, God gave us double what we had lost. I know what it's like to go into that door in tears, in pain, broken, not knowing what to do. But I also know what it's like to open that door and see the hand of God move on a man and a woman's life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So how do we start today to prepare for an end time outpouring? That is one of my points, my brother. That is one of my points. Brother Vic, if you're going to preach my message, come on up here. I'm getting tired anyway. My. So how do we prepare for an end time outpouring of God's Spirit? Here's the first thing we gotta do. We must realize that we all need to become empty vessels. We all need to become empty vessels. 1 Corinthians 4:7 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, in jars of clay." Paul said, we are just earthen vessels. But these vessels get so full sometimes that God can't put nothing in here. Look at all the pride in that vessel. Look at all the hatred. Look at the envy. Look at the covetousness. Look at the unforgiveness. Look at all the things in that vessel. And we go to pour, and we're saying, God, I want you to bless me. And this is what we get. The oil is stayed. They all won't pour in a full vessel. But when that vessel is empty, then the Holy Spirit will flow. And here I have been praying, God, send revival, send revival. And Lord's like, you're not empty. I don't know about you, but my wife and I have been under some conviction for a while. He is just cleaning us up. And if you come to Faithful Word and sit under Pastor Tardo, you're going to get convicted. Hallelujah. I thank God for conviction. I thank God for the Holy Spirit speaking to us. That is the grace of God. And so, the first thing we have to do, let's take a look at Jesus. Remember our great high priest? So Philippians 2:5, turn there with me. I want you to see something. Philippians 2:5. Philippians 2:5. I got to say something while you turn there. Don't you give up. Don't you give up. I just heard that in my spirit to tell you, don't you give up. Don't you say this is not going to happen. Don't you say within yourself, Lord, I don't know if this is going to work. Don't put that to the side. Amen. Let your faith rise. Yes. Let your faith rise. All right. So Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, Jesus was God, is God. He never ceased being God. He was always God from everlasting to everlasting. Jesus, you were and you are and you always will be God. And he never denied, he never was like, well, I'm in the flesh now. No, he knew he was God, Emmanuel, God with us. So he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. This is what we call his kenosis experience. This is when Jesus emptied himself, the Greek says. He emptied himself, an empty vessel. Wait, are you telling me God is telling us to be empty vessels, but he understands what it's like to empty himself and be an empty vessel? Imagine Jesus, Almighty God, humbling himself, coming to earth in the form of a man. Now that's emptying yourself. And so Philippians, Paul says, so let this mind be in you. You need to empty yourself. And verse 8 says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We got to prepare for his presence. And the first thing we got to do, we got to empty ourselves. All that junk, all that leaven pastor's been preaching about, we got to get that junk out. Because God is wanting to pour out his spirit, and we're too full for the spirit to be poured into us. Number two, we must realize just what our high priest has done for us. Hebrews chapter 4:14 says this, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, and this word came forth today, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus knows what you are going through. He has been there. He has done that. He understands what it's like to be tempted. He understands what you're going through. We have a great high priest. But look what it says, and I'm wrapping it up. It says, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy to find grace to help in time of need. Whatever your problem is, grace has the answer. Whatever you're going through, grace has the answer. However large your problem is, grace is bigger. No matter how impossible it might look, with God, all things are possible. And here's the last thing. Number three, we must realize, and this is where I end this sermon, and I'll pick it up at part two. We must realize this. We must realize that God longs for unity in his family. You're praying for, God, I want you to save my children, my parents. I want you to heal my broken home. Can you imagine the heart of Jesus? What he wants when he sees his body, the church, split, fractured, broken, hating each other, not forgiving each other, talking bad about each other. How do you think he feels? Let's back up a second. Maybe we forgot. Let me take you back a second. Our great high priest, Jesus, longs for unity in his family. And he longs for unity in your family. He died for unity. for his family. Psalm 133 says this. Listen at the heart of God. He's speaking through David. It says, the song of David, behold how good and how pleasant it is for us, for brethren to dwell together in unity. How good and how pleasant it is. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments and eventually just dripped on the ground. That's how God sees unity. When they had that fragrant oil over Aaron's head, when that fragrant oil poured over Jesus' head, and they had that fresh aroma, the Lord says, that's how I see unity. It's a sweet smell that goes up to heaven. The Lord loves unity in his body. And then we see verse 2. It says, and it's like the precious ointment that ran down the head, that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessings, even life forevermore. God commands a blessing in the love and unity of his people. He commands a blessing. The devil can try as hard as he wants. If God commands a blessing, guess what's going to happen? That blessing's going to come. So where is the blessing? Why aren't we blessed? Why are so many people sick and weak? Because we're out of unity. Because we're not loving each other like we should. Because we give in too quick with our tongues, like Pastor talked about last week. We're too quick, we're too flippant to say something about somebody. And the things that we take as simple, God takes as serious. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled, it poured out into the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Filled with the Holy Ghost. How did they get there? Because they were all with one accord in one place. And Peter said this. He said, but this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. There's going to be an outpouring. Lord, I pray. I pray today that this word penetrated hearts. I pray today, Lord, that your church didn't hear my voice, but they heard that voice of your spirit speaking to them, stirring them, that we can believe you. We can believe you. For more. We can believe you for more. We can believe you for more. It's okay to believe you for more. It's okay to believe you for an outpouring of healing. It's okay to believe you for an outpouring of salvation. It's okay to believe you for an outpouring of your spirit. Because that's what you died for. You were wounded for our transgressions. You were bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon you, Lord, and with your stripes we are healed. And because of what you did, Lord, we receive. We receive. And I just pray right now, Lord, there are a lot of people in this church, Father, who are going through physical pain, physical difficulties. And I just pray, even as this word is going forth, even those online who are watching, I pray that there would be an anointing of healing that would just begin to flow through this church right now. In the name of Jesus, Father, I just believe you right now, Father. I don't have to touch. Lord, you can anoint. You can heal. I pray for an outpouring. I pray that you would pour out your spirit. I do need to have one thing. I just heard in my spirit. There are some of you this morning. That you've been broken in heart and wounded in spirit. And I don't know if it's words from family. I don't know if it's stuff you've experienced on the job. I don't know what's going on, but there are some broken hearts that God, the Lord wants to touch this morning. And if that's you, I just want you to come up. Just come up. We're going to pray, and then we're going to give the service back over to pastor. I just saw brokenness, and Sister Phyllis is not the only one. I just heard it so clear that there's just broken hearts, and just it's been like a brokenness. And the is there anyone else who's getting under this outpouring of healing? Are there any men? Are there any men who have been experiencing? Don't be too proud for God to heal you. Don't be too proud for God to touch you. Thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Father. I pray over each and every one at this altar. And I pray, Lord God, Father, whatever that wound, whatever caused that brokenness, whatever caused that wound, I pray that you would touch. That you would touch and heal. Lord, those words, Father, whatever they were, whatever was said, whatever was done, Father, heal. Heal, Lord. Heal my precious sister. Heal her heart. Touch her, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father. Lord, the words, in Jesus' name, I break those cursed words in the name of Jesus. Father, even those words spoken, Lord, even a long, long, long time ago, Father, I break the curse of those words. I break the curse of those words in Jesus' name. And Father, even now, I just declare a blessing. Even as your word says that you command a blessing, I just pray. I just command. I just speak the word. I'm just saying what I hear. Lord, I just command a blessing to come. Lord, touch this heart. Touch this heart. Touch this mind. Touch her life. Heal the wounds. Heal the scars. In the name of Jesus, Father. Touch, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father. Touch and heal, I pray, in the name of Jesus, Lord. The wrong's done, Lord. The word said, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father God. Help my sister to put that behind her. The wrong's done. The word said, help her, Father, to walk away and help her to become that empty vessel that you want to pour into, Lord. I thank you for her humility. This day, feel her, Lord. Feel her, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. Every word spoken in Jesus' name. I break the curse of those words, the pain of those words, Lord. Heal my sister. Heal her heart. Heal those emotions. Heal, Lord, those wounds that were made by those words in the name of Jesus. Peace, I pray, over her heart, over her mind, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Father. Heal those broken places. Heal those broken places, Lord. Mend those broken relationships in Jesus' name, Father. Mend those broken relationships, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And Father, heal my sister. Lord, give her the garments of praise. Give her the garments of praise. Heaveness, I command you to leave her mind. Power of every word in the name of Jesus. Father, refreshing, Father. Fill her up. Overflow, I pray, in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, touch my sister, my dear sister, in the name of Jesus. Touch my dear sister, I pray, Lord. Show her, Lord God, that small vessel of oil is so powerful. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would use her to begin to pour out into other empty vessels. I pray in the name of Jesus. Give her wisdom, Father. Give her wisdom, I pray, in the name of Jesus. 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 Has spoken to these people, I break those cursed words in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you, Lord God, that the enemy will not lie to them anymore. I thank you in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that there will be no more thoughts of regret, no more thoughts of where they missed it, no more thoughts of what they did wrong. I thank you that because of their humility and this name, I pray. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.